Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Pascrell, members of the subcommittee. Good afternoon. My name is Scott Vanderwall. I'm a farmer from Volga, South Dakota. We have a family operation, as Representative Noe mentioned, where my father is still involved at 82 years old. He likes to do the feedlot chores whenever he can, and my son, who's there learning to manage probably earlier than he would have because I'm doing things like this. So it's good for him as well. I currently serve as president of the South Dakota Farm Bureau and also have the honor and privilege of serving as vice president of American Farm Bureau Federation. My testimony today will focus on the growing concerns of farmers and ranchers across the country due to the impact of tariffs on farming and ranching and also the impacts on South Dakota. Our farmers are facing a lot of challenges right now. Since 2014, the American farmer's income has fallen 52%. Now farmers are dealing with big shifts in the commodity markets because of trade and tariff threats. Throughout history, some farmers have survived by expanding their operations. Today, that option is nearly untouchable because of the lack of qualified labor and access to land. The ingredients of this perfect storm, as President Papp said, trade threats, lower income, the lack of labor, and possibly no farm bill, will be more than many farmers can handle. We need Congress and the administration to remember that agriculture has traditionally been a bright spot in our nation's overall balance of trade. In 2017, we had a positive trade balance of $21 billion in regard to ag exports. We will quickly lose our place as a leader in the global marketplace, however, if we can't be trusted as a trading partner and our farmers no longer have access to markets that they depend on. Multiple rounds of U.S. tariff announcements and subsequent retaliatory tariffs by China have now led to large cumulative tariffs that would completely price U.S. ag products out of foreign markets. Similar negative effects are expected from the retaliatory tariffs that have been imposed by Canada, Mexico, and the European Union because of the U.S.-imposed steel and aluminum tariffs. And now to some specific impacts on South Dakota. According to the USDA Foreign Ag Service, 95% of the exports from our state go to the top steel exports. 84% of our exports go to the top aluminum exporters. Obviously, these markets are very crucial to us, and the retaliatory tariffs on our products hurt our state tremendously. I'm hearing more from farmers as time goes along that they still trust what President Trump is doing and that he knows what he's doing and that everything will be fine in the end. We understand that other countries, particularly China, have not played fairly, and we respect his desire to remedy those situations. The problem is those countries know just where to punch us back in a dispute situation, and that's agricultural products. Through no fault of our own, and unintentionally, I believe, our industry ends up being used for leverage. Patience among farmers is running out as we get closer to the main selling season. As of yesterday, since the end of May, new crop soybean futures have dropped about $2 a bushel, or 20%, and corn has dropped about 65 cents a bushel. The markets react daily to the trade wars and tariff news, and if sales have to be made at these price levels, this whole issue will show up as a massive shortfall in expected income on our financial statements. Specifically for our small farm in South Dakota, this amounts to a negative impact of about $150,000 for corn and beans alone. Farmers and ranchers are among the most patriotic people in the world, but going bankrupt should not be a consequence of that dedication. Now, I want to make it crystal clear that we appreciate most of President Trump's efforts so far, such as reducing unnecessary regulations and taking a more conservative approach to issues that affect our industry the most. However, he does need to know that the ag industry has not participated in the current economic uptrend that we're seeing, and reductions in income due to long-term trade disputes only make matters worse. We must ask, what is the exact goal? What is the exit strategy? If we knew this would all be over within a few months, we could hang in there and manage around it. But none of us know what that time frame is. We know that bankers are extremely worried. Ag lending is largely based on personal relationships. Lenders often work very long-term with their customers, and they become friends. They're members of the same community. They watch their kids play in sports together. The last thing a lender wants to do is sit across the desk from one of his customers and say, "I'm sorry, but we can't renew your loan for this next year. You're out of business." I'm not exaggerating when I say that. That could become commonplace if trade wars don't end soon. A banker I talked to yesterday made an interesting comment. He said, "Driving around the countryside, the crops look fantastic. It's just too bad that there's not a drop of black ink out there." Rather than fixing all the problems at once, we would suggest a more targeted approach. Get the Mexico and Canada deals done, then move on to China. We urge our trade officials to engage in discussions to resolve trade concerns. We must get back to the table and get these issues worked out. If we can't do that, the consequences are dire. Thank you very much.
Thank you.